Diana King first became well-known for her work with the Notorious B.I.G. on the 1994 song Respect. Then soon after that, she got her own record deal as a solo artist, had the hit Shy Guy in 1995. That song has then helped her launch a career which has made her one of the most successful artists ever from Jamaica. And joining us right now via Skype, making a connection, is Diana King. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you. So, first of all, I have to tell you that your story is, you know, really inspired me just reading about you, and I think you're a pretty neat woman. So I'm excited, you know, about more about that.
And thank you.
Yeah, where are you? Sorry, where are you? You're in the United States now, right? Not in Jamaica anymore, living wise.
I'm in Florida.
Okay.
Yeah, I moved from Jamaica around the same time I did Shy Guy, because I kept going back and forth, and it was just too much. So I migrated to the U.S.
Thanks to the movie Cool Runnings, the first thing I think of is the whole bobsled team. So do they still have a bobsled
team? Yeah. I haven't heard much about them lately, but I think they're still at it. It's amazing.
Didn't you have, like, something on that soundtrack, too, on the Cool Runnings soundtrack?
I did, actually. That was actually my demo song to Sony Music before Shy Guy. It was a cover, like, Stir It Up, of Bob Marley, and I guess they loved it so much they put it on the Cool Runnings soundtrack. So that was like my in into Sony Music. Yeah,
that was a great movie too. So Jamaica,
yeah.
I've never been. Is it a must visit? Am I gonna love it over there?
It is great. I'm so homesick right now. Yeah, it's wonderful. Florida is similar, but no mountains. You have to have the mountains to bring off that whole island vibe. But I live in Florida, but I still don't get to go home very often. So.
And so let's talk about your new album. We're excited about that. But I want to talk kind of about the story that kind of led to your album first. So this is how I interpret the story. So correct me if I'm wrong. But so a few years ago, it was obviously kind of depressing and dark. You fought through it. You know, shortly after 05, the album I Say a Little Prayer. You were diagnosed with MS. You were told you may never walk on your own again, but you, of course, dominated that. You used, you know, natural holistic methods, your own strength. You proved wrong. But I know during that time that you couldn't walk and perform much, but you had taken like a Pro Tools class back in the day. You bought your own home studio. You worked on music, and it kind of got you through it. So how dark were those days, and how did the music really help you get through that?
Man, it was unreal. You know, it's like one day you're – you know, this person active, going to the gym every day, doing your shows, jumping up and down on stage. And the next thing you know, I wake up and I couldn't feel my legs. So just imagine that. And then being told that I may never walk again. It was very depressing. Like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? You know, I have so many things to do, you know, but I've always been very independent. So that it really affected me. Like, how am I going to take care of myself? I mean, I'm the head of everything, you know, the head of the household, the head of my life. And it was very depressing. And it went on for months and months. I couldn't walk for about 6 months. And then one day, it took a while also to find out what was wrong with me. And then when I was finally diagnosed, I was told about the drugs and all the side effects and all of that. And I just decided I wasn't even going to admit to myself that I had it. I just said, I don't have this disease. And a few months after, I guess I was reminded, because that's actually how I started singing. How I became a singer was I was going through a hard time as a young girl. I started singing at 13, and that's what brought me through all of that. So I said, you know, I'm going to go back to that, because that's always made me feel better. And I wasn't with a label. I was my last album was with Warner Music. So the only way I could think of doing it was learning how to do it myself. And I think everything just happened for a reason, because I didn't want anyone to see me the way I was. I guess it was my pride in some ways. I didn't want anyone to see me not being able to walk or having spasms or just looking sick. And it forced me to do it on my own. And like you read in the bio, the more I wrote, each song I wrote, I just felt better and better. And that was my therapy and my healing.
Wow. So just something you love that much and something that passionate. It shows how powerful we can all be, right, in our own.
And the power of your mind. It was like, I couldn't explain it because I was playing things and doing things that I had no idea how to do.
Huh.
It was like magic.
Well, weren't there a couple books that you, The Secret and The Power that you're big fans of? Tell us about those.
Yeah, I am, because those books reminded me of things I knew, but sometimes you forget. You know, you go through life and you forget things. You know, things are going great, and you forget certain things that you've learned over the years. And those books reminded me that you have to take matters into your own hands sometimes. You know, just believe that you can do it and go for it. Because if I had stopped to think about, oh, I've never done this and I can't do this, I wouldn't have done it, you know?
Yeah.
It was a good thing I was alone because I could take as long as I wanted. There was no one pressuring me, you know? No one, no deadline.
That had to be hard though, sometimes too, I'm sure, you know, though, right?
Very hard. I don't think I want to do it again.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, but it was a one-of-a-kind experience. One of those where even if I did my next album all by myself, it wouldn't be the same, you know?
Yeah, you don't have that powerful thing, you know, behind you.
Yeah, it was a very magical time.
We're talking to Diana King right now. So like we said, during that difficult time, you put together songs in your home studio. So you had something around 100, and then the first batch of those, the new album, A Girl Named King. So can you talk to us about that album a little bit? Tell us about it.
Well, it's all me. I wrote all the songs, played all everything, well, 95%. Some things, some pieces of it were done by my band members. But after... like post the whole post album, but it's very special because of how it came about, and it's almost a bit raw, meaning I didn't pretty it up, you know what I mean? It's very raw and real, very emotional to me, and I might not have done it if I was healthy and, you know, back in the day, I would have embellished it a lot. But I decided to put it out as is because I wanted to keep it real. But it's very special to me, the songs.
Well, and one of them on there that I've heard that really helped you a lot was Warrior Girl. Kind of tell us a little bit about that one.
Yeah, it's Warrior Girl is about just being strong. I wanted a song that would make me feel better. I mean, there are many songs out there that, you know, inspire you and lift you up. And I listened to all of them, but I still didn't feel there was something I was looking for. And it just came to me one day after I think I'd written a few songs before Warrior Girl. And the lyrics just started coming to me, and the more I wrote and played it, it was like the song that made it okay. Like, you know what, you're going to be okay because you're a warrior girl. You know, you've been through so much throughout your life, but it's going to be okay because you have that warrior strength inside you, and you just need to tap into that and do what it is that you were born to do. So even now, if I'm feeling down, any kind of negative way, I listen to it. And I hope it does the same for whoever listens to it, even if you're not a girl.
Yeah. Well, yeah, last time I checked. So, so honestly, you know, obviously it's your most honest and just, you know, real album that you've ever done. So, you know, was it tough? Because, like I'd read that you had close to 100 songs. Was it tough to choose the songs because there were so many of them?
Very tough. It was tough to do. Because I'm used to writing, and singing, but not playing and doing all of that stuff. So mentally, it was much more challenging and to do it while I wasn't well. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever done because I had to teach myself almost everything. I went to learn how to operate the Pro Tools, but I had to teach myself how to play the piano, all the instruments. And I've never done it before, ever. So it was, that's what I mean when I say it was so, it was like a magical moment because I was playing things and doing things I had no idea how to do. I can't, my band members even tease me. They're like, okay, Dinah, what key is that? I'm like, I don't know. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know. And that's the truth. I just played what I heard in my head. And yeah, that's how real it is.
You need to write a book. I'd read it.
I actually am.
Are you really?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. I am. It's actually has the same title, but it's A Girl Named King, the book.
Oh, wait, how's it coming? Is it getting close to being done, or what's the timeline on it?
I actually had finished it, but I guess a lot of artists are like that. Like, you, sometimes you finish something and there's a, you feel like there's something missing. So I'm kind of at a pause with it because I finished it, but I don't feel there yet. Like, okay, I feel like I need to learn some more.
You could probably do motivational speaking too. I mean, seriously, I would think that, like, me personally, I think I would have trouble, you know, getting out of bed and getting up and fighting, you know?
Yeah. But if you knew my whole story, you would understand why that was like not an option, you know, to just stay in the bed, even though I did it for months. It just couldn't be like that. Even if I had to be in a wheelchair wheeling myself across the stage, I knew I'd get to that point, but I didn't know when because nothing like this has ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah.
We're talking to Diana King right now on Round Trip. So, and then the album picture on A Girl Named King, like in the front of that, is that you as a girl or who is that?
It is. Yeah. The baby picture?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's me at, I think I was 5. Yeah.
It reminds me of remember the Blind Melon album back in the day? Or
yeah.
Or Nirvana or some of those other ones.
We love to use our baby pictures.
Yeah, it's great. That's
yeah.
Great. So
it's the only one I have too.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay, well, so that makes sense. It means a lot to you, obviously. So let's take a step back to your childhood then, kind of along the same line. So I don't know much about it, but you know, I've read and heard that you overcame a lot of obstacles as a child, you know, and kind of tell us about your life growing up. What was that like?
It was, I'm one of 15, actually, 15 kids.
Oh my gosh.
But I would, it's, oh my God, it would take hours. I was adopted. I was a sixth child, but my mom, she had already had 5. She couldn't take care of another one. So I was adopted by my aunt, who was really old when she adopted me in her 70s. So I grew up with my aunt / mom because I thought she was my mom. And then about 11 years old, I found out that my mom was this other woman who I thought was just a person who would visit. She would visit every week or so. And childhood was fine. And I don't know if I want to talk about what happened, but something happened when I was 11 years old. And it led to me running away from home. And that's how I started singing, because I didn't dream of being a singer. I actually wanted to be a doctor. But I was out there on my own, didn't have any food or anywhere to sleep. And then I remembered that I could sing, because I used to sing in the choir or at school. And it was like my destiny, because after being on the street for a long time, I ran into a friend of mine who was actually in a band, and he knew I could sing, and he just said, oh, we're looking for a female singer. Do you want to come and audition? And I thought, couldn't hurt, and I went, and I got the job the same night, and that's how I became a singer. Like, it was like, the more I did it, the more it felt like this is what I was born to do.
Wow.
So that's what I mean when I say my past made me, I'm open to whatever, because I don't usually plan, because I didn't plan on being a singer. I wanted to be a doctor. I think I'm a doctor in my mind. I wanted to be a doctor, and I never, it was just singing was something that I just could do it. And it was just amazing to me how I became a singer that made me the type of person mentally that was just open to whatever. Like, you never know what can happen.
Wow, so you've been
overcoming
your whole life then.
Say that again?
You've been overcoming the odds your whole life then, when you think about it.
Yeah. Wow. It's, I had to grow up real quick, so I had to learn. And luckily, everyone was older than me, and I was like a sponge. So I was very shy. I'm still shy. I was very shy. I just listened. And I think everything happened for a reason. So even when I was diagnosed with the MS, I knew there was a reason. But when you're going through it, you don't feel like that, you know? You just feel like, what the hell did I do to deserve this, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah.
And until such time where you feel like, oh, this is the reason, and you find the message in the madness, there's always a message.
No, I agree. That's yeah.
Yeah.
Man. I want to read this book. We need to get this book out, man. I'm motivated.
Yeah, I know. It's quite, yeah, it's graphic.
Well, that's okay though. You're telling the story. That's great.
Yeah.
So then on your website, dianakingdom.com, I was looking, there's a tribute video to Michael Jackson on there. So I know he was one of your kind of huge idols growing up and everything. Did you ever get a chance to meet him or anything?
Never.
Ah.
Yeah, I said that in the song. Like, I wish I had met you.
Yeah.
But I'm like everyone else, you know, who admired and he inspired. And I actually never knew that it would affect me so much that I wrote a song the same day as I was watching it on TV. The whole thing is like, it was just in disbelief. Because I'm sure many people feel like that. Like, why? How? How did this happen?
Yeah,
I did want to meet him. That was like a secret dream. Like, I wanted to meet him. But he inspired me a lot growing up. And so it came natural, that song. Because I'm not used to... That's how I operate. I can count the amount of times I've done something that didn't come natural. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I started writing it in my head. Then I went and the chords came. Yeah, that's one of my favorite songs too. A lot of people like that one.
So how did you, okay, so obviously music got you to the U.S., but how did you end up getting over here to start with music? I mean, did you get a deal first or how did that happen?
No, I was a background singer for Shabba Ranks.
Huh.
Yeah, that's how I first came to America. I was singing backgrounds. Shabba was signed to Sony as well, and that's actually how I was heard by Sony. It was a show we did at Madison Square Gardens, and because I didn't even have a demo, which is how I ended up doing Stir It Up as a demo, and the rest is history. Just like they really admired my sound and they signed me.
We mentioned earlier, you know, back in 94, you were with Biggie on Respect. So what was he like to work with, and what kind of man was he?
I have no idea.
Oh, you never actually got to meet him?
No.
Really?
No.
I've heard of that before, actually. That's cool. That, you know.
Yeah, that was my first experience with that. Like, I've never even heard of it because I actually thought he would have been there. So that was kind of my first experience where you could do a song with someone and never meet them.
Yeah. Do you remember Do Anything by Natural Selection?
Pardon me?
Do you remember the song Do Anything by Natural Selection that came out around that time?
Sing it.
just can't get enough, that song?
Yes, yes,
okay.
Yes.
Well, I interviewed them a while back, and he was telling me how, I forget the girl's name that sings it, that she's pretty famous now, but I asked him the same question. He's like, I don't know, I've never met her. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I met Puff Daddy.
Oh, really?
He was the producer, but I didn't meet Biggie. Yeah.
So
never
about
met him.
1995 or so, you got that that solo deal. What do you remember about the moment you landed that deal? You know, how surreal was that?
It was very nerve-wracking because I never expected it. That's the story of my life. Nothing that I never expected anything that's ever happened to me. So even when I got called, when the representative from Sony called me at home, I hung up on them. Yeah, I was like, yeah, right, please. And I hung up. And they kept calling. And then finally I answered. And the person didn't even allow me to speak. They just said, we heard you. We like you. Can you come to New York tomorrow for a meeting? I didn't even have a manager. I was just kind of grazing through the singing world. I didn't think of anything like that. I was just doing what I love. I wasn't thinking of becoming a star or getting a deal or anything like that, just to do it. So when that happened, it was like, wow. You know, I felt proud of it, but it was nothing I ever dreamed of, really. It was beyond my wildest dreams, as they'd say.
Yeah, and so that led to your first solo album, Tougher Than Love. It's grossed over 5 million in sales worldwide. So, and then, of course, the song that made you famous was Shy Guy. So
yes.
The story of Shy Guy, how did you guys come up with it, and what do you remember about the day you kind of put it together and all that kind of stuff?
It was actually the first song I wrote with my producer at the time, Andy Marvel. And I had met him when I did Stir It Up. He also produced Stir It Up. So when we finally met after I got signed, we were just talking because we didn't really know each other. But he was very impressive to me because he actually knew more about Jamaican music than I did. So we were talking a lot about music, and then we just got into a conversation about the type of people we like to be in a relationship with. And he said, what kind of guys do you like, Diana? And I said, shy guys. And to be honest, I don't even know why I said that, because I'm shy. So if I like shy guy, we would get nowhere. But that's what I said. And he was playing the beat at the time, and I just started to sing, oh, Lord of mercy, mercy, mercy. And he just loved it, and we just kept going, and that song was written the first day.
Holy cow. So it wasn't written about it. You weren't thinking about a certain guy in particular or anything?
Shy guy. That's what I said.
but not one person or anything?
No. No, not really.
Now you're getting shy.
I think I was talking about myself.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm so shy. So a shy guy wouldn't be ideal for me anyway. Because, it, like I said before, it would get nowhere. We would be just sitting there saying nothing.
Well, there's a lot of
but
people
it was,
a lot of
yeah.
too, though. So.
But it turned out to be, it was actually not even the song that I wanted to be released.
Which one did you want?
I don't even remember right now. It may have been one of the more R&B sounding ones, maybe Love Triangle, which was released as well, but it was probably that. But everyone, I was outvoted. And when I'm outvoted, I agree.
So,
it was the right choice.
Well, yeah, definitely. And then there's two versions of the video, then one in black and white, and then there's one for the Bad Boy soundtrack with Will Smith,
yes.
Martin Lawrence. Were you happy with both videos then, how they turned out?
I was. I mean, the first one was before it was submitted for the soundtrack. So that was like my first video. So it will always be special to me, the black and white. But then when it was accepted for the soundtrack, then we decided to do another video with Will and Martin, which was another right decision. But it was cool because it actually, even though being on the soundtrack made it much bigger than it was before, it was kind of cool because it actually was number one in Japan before the soundtrack. So that gave me a good feeling that it wasn't just the movie, but the movie definitely put it in another gear.
How did you like Maya's version of it in 2008? Did you ever hear that, obviously, I'm assuming?
I did. I did hear it. It's cool. I don't love it, but it's cool.
That's kind of a compliment, though. Someone's remaking your music. That's got to be pretty cool, right?
It's very cool. I mean, from time to time, I go on YouTube and I look up all the versions of people doing it from all over the world. It's really cool. It never gets boring.
Yeah.
It's so amazing to see all the different people, from people who don't even speak English or patois or anything. They just love that song. It's amazing.
The second album then was Think Like a Girl. It had Say a Little Prayer on it, which was on the my best friend's wedding soundtrack with Julia Roberts. Did you ever get a chance to meet Julia or not?
I did. I did meet her, and she was cool. I don't think I've never really met. It's kind of a weird. I don't know what it is. Artistic people, we're very shy. We don't say much. Most. From what I've observed. So I met her, but that was it. We never entered into a conversation or anything. But it was cool to meet her.
Huh. And then the third album was Respect in 2002. The fourth was I Say a Little Prayer in 2005. Which of those two did you like better from those two albums?
Which song?
Which ones did you like better, between the two albums, Respect and I Say a Little Prayer?
See, that's tricky. Because everyone has a different meaning. Like, I think with Respect, I was more involved in the all the songs, like more vocal with what I wanted and all of that stuff. So I think from Respect, I started to feel a little bit more confident with my with myself and my music. But I don't think I have a favorite.
Well, that's good.
They all have a different meaning, a different important meaning for me. But I guess the first album was like the most means the most because it was my first and it had Shy Guy, which, debuted all over the world. Like, Shy Guy gave me fans from everywhere, which it's incredible because of that album and that song, I still travel to all these places all over the world.
Yeah.
So, I love that song. I started out hating it, but I love that song. because it was like, okay, Shy Guy, what else? Don't you like any other song? I would have to sing it 2, 3, 4 times on a show. But then I saw the beauty in it. Not many artists have songs like that, that even after 15 years, it's still on the charts. You know, Shy Guy, Say a Little Prayer. It's a great, it's humbling, you know. So I can never hate that song. I'll sing it as many times as my fans want to sing me to sing it on one show. I'll just keep going.
They may ask for it every song. You never know.
Yeah.
So you still probably have then about 80 songs in the vault, you know, from when you were six. So I'm assuming there'll be more albums in the near future. Do you have any plans?
Can you repeat that, please?
Oh, yeah. No, you know, like we talked about earlier, you probably still have about 80 songs left from kind of the times you were six, you know.
Yeah.
Are those going to be coming out? I mean, obviously, you've still got a new album.
They will, yes. I'm planning the next album already. Yeah. But I have enough songs, but it's that point where the inspiration is it just keeps coming. So I know how inspiration is. Sometimes it doesn't come. So I'm just really grateful that every day I'm inspired and I write new songs, and it's just coming. So it's great for now that happens, because sometimes nothing happens, you know.
Yeah. Well, tell us about your new album one more time. I want to make sure we talk a little bit more about that. You know, tell us kind of about it and how it compares to, you know, say the first album.
Well, look, this one is more special personally because it's all me. Everything. Like, it's so me that you should see my face when I was singing the songs. I was like, I wasn't shy because I was alone. You know, I would just sing the way that came natural. Not saying that all my other songs weren't natural, but when you're working with other people, you get their input, and not necessarily saying they're bad, but this time it was just me. There was no one to say, oh, try a different tone or try a different voice. I just let it loose, and it felt really great to just hear that. It felt like the most I've been myself as a vocalist, and it's also special because I also produce the tracks, and they're not perfect tracks, but I call them perfectly imperfect. They're perfect to me. And I think my fans will like it because it's me. And I've always been myself.
So tell us how else, you know, as fans, we can keep in touch with you. Obviously, you've got the website, DianaKingdom.com. Are you on the Facebook and Twitter and that kind of stuff too?
Yes, I'm everywhere, Diana Kingdom. So it's Twitter, Diana Kingdom. Facebook, Diana Kingdom, and my official website, like you said, www.dianakingdom.com. So everywhere it's Diana Kingdom, except for YouTube, where I'm King Singer, which is my nickname.
Okay, and tell us about the single and everything.
Well, the new single, well, the first single from the new album, A Girl Named King, is called You Don't Know. And it's, You Don't Know means you already know. It's like, I don't want to say me coming back again, but it's like, you don't know. It's Diana King, and there's only one Diana King, I think, who mixed the reggae with every genre. So it's saying, you already know, it's me. And I'm back, and I'm just happy to be here. This song is about the vibes and just being happy. And it was quite... I enjoyed doing this song because I got to work with an Indian artist, Gunjan. And it was special because my mother's side is from India. So it was kind of cool for me to incorporate that, because Jamaica also has a very large Indian population. We're all mixed up. We have Chinese, or rather Asians, Indians. So it's like a coming together of the cultures and the music. It's a really cool song.
You know, thank you so much for your time, and it, you know.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
It's been great talking. So you're an inspiration, and I look forward to many, 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 many more years of music and another book. I want to read that book. I'm going to read it in one sitting, I think.
Yes, I'll promise to finish it soon.
Yeah, stay on track. You have too many things going on.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, girl.
All right, Devo. Thank you.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.